This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Levin Reed, WBZ Boston, is going to join us this hour to talk Patriots. We're going to really figure out the Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones situation. It feels like there is like a target on Mac Jones, and this usually happens when a backup quarterback comes in and does particularly well. All of a sudden, there's a feeling like maybe we'd be better off. And in this league especially, when you haven't really established yourself, it's difficult to hold on to a job when the guy that's behind you is playing so well. There's really no permanent hierarchy in terms of the depth chart. You know, people, we said this earlier, people say you can't lose your job to injury. You can lose your job to everything. That's the National Football League. It positions change all the time. Players change all the time in terms of position and how well they're playing. But I think because of the Patriots and Bill Belichick in particular, we always try to outthink a guy that is so methodical in how he runs his team. So when Bailey Zappi is playing well, initially we go, well, he did this before. Well, he did it because Drew Bledsoe's lungs were filled with blood and he really didn't have a choice, and he liked Brady enough that he was like, all right, go in there. But he didn't foresee the kind of success. It was when Brady was rolling along well, taking an opportunity, and then when Bledsoe was healthy, there were so many games already underneath them that Belichick said to Bledsoe, yeah, we're going with Tom. Tom's the guy. And then, of course, he led him to the Super Bowl and the rest of history, and Bledsoe ended up going to the Buffalo Bills, later the Dallas Cowboys. Is this that similar situation? Well, not yet, right? Not yet, because Bailey Zappi has won two games in which they shut out a high-flying Detroit team and they beat Cleveland on the road and did so with a good second half. He's thrown four touchdowns, I think one interception. He's completing nearly 80% of his passes, which you compare that to like 56% of Justin Fields' passes. So there is a feeling like a guy who had 62 passes his senior year at Western Kentucky is getting a good handle on the National Football League. But the reality is that we're trying to overthink Bill Belichick's thinking, and I think sometimes we have to pull back and go, let's see this play out in the right way. We're going to talk about that coming up with Levin Reed, but next, Jim Irsay says there is merit to remove Dan Snyder as an owner, and wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall in these owners' meetings, because apparently Jerry Jones got a little salty with Robert Kraft. We'll talk about that coming up, as well as, again, looking into the games coming up this weekend in the NFL, some of the more intriguing ones. We continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with this Wake Up Call. All right, we'll get to the owner's meeting coming up. I don't want to sound like an old man, Ron. I don't like that. I think as technology grows, I know as you get older, you have a tendency to not get into technology as much. But I think we all owe it to ourselves to sort of learn where the world is going.
Of course.
You know, I never, you know, when somebody goes, it's like, you know, with Bill Belichick, remember how angry we were? Not really angry, but we were kind of rolling our eyes when he was like, I don't know, face chat.
Snapbook.
Snapbook? What's that? Like, email? What's, like, stop it. Like, stop pretending like you're this dinosaur from the 40s. So when people brag, or not, they brag like they don't need technology or the way the world is going, I'm like, well, the world is going to pass you by. If you don't figure this out, this is what we're doing now. We're not doing it the old way.
Right.
That being said, so this weekend I'm going to the United States Grand Prix in Austin, and I won tickets in a contest that I was in an announcer contest. And so the company in London is giving me these tickets. And so I did not know how I was getting these tickets. And so she sent me an email earlier in the week, and she said, these will be e-tickets. Well, I've done e-tickets before. And then she goes, we'll be mailing you the e-tickets, which is kind of like emailing you the e-tickets. And
right.
I'm like, okay, I guess that's fine.
Well, that's how you're going to get them.
I've done e-tickets before. But, you know, if you wanted to leave them at will call and, like, give me, like, a hard ticket, I wouldn't mind that either. You know, like, but she then says, she sends me the email yesterday. She says, here are your tickets. Thank you. Congratulations. Blah, 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 blah. Download them into your wallet. But I don't know what that is. So my wife had to explain to me what it was. But as I was doing it, I was petrified I was going to hit one button and all the tickets were going to be erased and I wasn't going to get them. It's if you don't, I mean, I don't want to sound like an old man, but it's like, can you just give me hard tickets like at the will call, like the old days? Because this, like, it's like press this button and then back, go back here and then add this button. And then, but once I got it, I got it. But it was, I was really nervous. Like, I don't know the security of this. Like, could it disappear on my phone tomorrow?
Yeah.
Like, no. like would they be like, if I lose tickets, I lose tickets. I go, oh, shoot. I put them on the counter. I don't know where I put them. But what if they just disappeared? Would they be gone? I would never get them back.
But I mean, I think there's always a way to get them back.
Okay.
Now, I ran into a similar thing because I had paid for tickets for the Houston Rodeo last year.
Right.
But I had paid like a while ago. I had paid the COVID year and the rodeo didn't happen. So I still had those tickets. And never asked for a refund. And then when we went last year, there's like, hey, if you paid for them and during this time, we still have it registered under your name. I was like, great. You know, free rodeo in a way because I paid them 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So I had originally asked for them to be available at will call. So that way I could just go and pick them up. And I went to will call, stood in line forever, went to will call, and the lady there was like, oh, you need to download our app.
Oh, yeah. Now, see, I had to do that, too. I had to download the Trax app.
Yeah. So here's the issue, and I'm going to recommend this to you ahead of time, because the cell service there was terrible.
That's what I'm worried about.
And so I'm downloading this app, and I'm watching this, you know, the little pie chart. I don't even know what to call it. It looks like it's the app is dark and it slowly gets brighter as you're downloading it. Took forever. I mean, we were standing there for like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, well,
I had to keep refreshing my screen to make sure it didn't turn off. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Can't you guys just, he's like, you all have computers right there. You can't look it up in a computer, just type in my name and go, boom, there it is.
So real quick, the tickets, I mean, I hate to do this as a segment, but I'm because I could just ask somebody this. So downloading them into my wallet on my phone, do I need Wi-Fi or are they part of the phone's
It's part of the phone's hard drive.
So I don't need to be connected to the Wi-Fi because she said you want to download these to your wallet so that they're available for you when you get there. Maybe she was implying like wink, wink, you may not get good cell service and you might be stuck trying to open an email that's not opening them up. Put them in your wallet. They're always there. I don't know. I'm going to learn this because this is the way now things are done. That's the thing. If you're an old person, if you get old and you're like, I just want the hard ticket, there might not be a hard ticket forever. Like in a couple of years, nobody might be doing hard tickets, right? This might just be the way we do it. People on our town's Facebook page are always like, hey, I got tickets to Carrie Underwood, or I got tickets to the Titans, or I got tickets to the Predators. Who wants them? And they're e-tickets, and they just transfer them over to your phone when you pay them. You Venmo the person, and they send you the tickets or whatever it is. It's a weird trust that's like, I always expected, like, in a dark alley, I got the cash. Let me see the tickets. I got the tickets. All right. Closer and closer. Swap them. Like that kind of thing. People are like, no, Venmo me the money. I'll transfer the tickets. I'm like, how about I don't Venmo you the money?
I mean, do we have to go briefcase to briefcase?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, what am I living in? Some sort of spy novel?
I sit down at a park bench, leave the briefcase of money.
Money's in the paper bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the owners met yesterday, and it got a little contentious between Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft. Reportedly, Jerry Jones said to Robert Kraft, don't bleep with me. Kraft said, excuse me. And Jones said, don't mess with me. But he didn't say mess the first time. They're basically voting on the compensation, a future compensation deal with Roger Goodell to remain as commissioner. Jones is not a big Goodell fan, but all the other 31 representatives there, the owners there, do like him. It was 31-1. The owners voting. Who's the person that votes for the Packers? Like, do they assign somebody to represent the
Don't they
the
have
Packers?
Like a
board of directors?
Like a team president?
Yeah, I think so. So he's probably the one.
But it's part of the election process?
Yeah, exactly. But the big story is Jim Irsay, who came out and just basically said, nope, there's merit to remove Dan Snyder as owner. Now, this is really interesting because this would be even Jim Irsay, who loves a microphone, and even Jerry Jones, who loves a microphone. They're very reluctant to talk about things like this. Like, this is the no-go area for a lot of these guys because everyone's got skeletons in their closet. And if you are a fly on the wall in these meetings, I guarantee you there have been things said and discussed that they don't want the public to know that they have discussed. When you are trying to get a stadium deal, okay, like we all know, like we all see like how politics works, and it's like scary. It's underhanded. You use every advantage you can get. Hey, you vote for this, I'll vote for this, or I'll vote for this, but publicly, you know, I'll do a silent vote. Like all these things that politicians do to remain in power and whatnot. But when you add NFL owners to this, you know that there were probably some practices to get certain very, very friendly laws in place or zoning situations or whatever it is that they probably don't want the public to know. Taxpayers were getting hosed on this, or taxpayers. There's probably a bunch of this stuff. So they love to keep these meetings very, very confidential. And so Jim Irsay coming out and saying this, saying, quote, "I believe there's merit to remove him as owner." And he said Redskins, and I was like, it's the Commanders, but whatever. "I believe there's merit to removing him as owner of the Commanders. There's consideration that he should be removed." Okay, that is something, again, that you don't hear a lot of owners speaking about. Now, the investigation that Mary Jo White is doing is sort of been put together, and Goodell is saying, look, when we analyze all that, then we'll be making a decision. Irsay is sort of speaking out of turn here, but not really. Not really, because think about where the Dan Snyder situation has gone just in the last week. It went from Snyder, a report coming out by reporters who dug into the Snyder story. And this is Seth Wickersham is on this as well, who dug into the Snyder situation, put out this huge article about it. It got people buzzing. Got people wondering, does Dan Snyder have things on the other owner? And the other thing that happened was, and don't think this was light, okay? Al Michaels on the broadcast saying he should just sell this team, right? Don't think that was just a throwaway comment. Al Michaels is a very calculated broadcaster. He read the room. He had never said things like that before. Right. But he read the room. The room now is right for Dan Snyder to be removed as an owner. There's a feeling like now is the time. If you're going to do it, now is the time. The ESPN bombshell led to Al Michaels feeling like the temperature in the room was fine enough to say something like that. And now Irsay taking a cue on all of that, and plus being Jim Irsay. And don't discount that, because, again, Irsay doesn't mind being an outspoken person on anything. He was willing to go, yeah, there's something. The workplace thing was gravely concerning, and I think there's merit to remove him as an owner, right? We talk about this all the time with owners. They may vote you out, but they're very careful to vote you out. They don't want a slippery slope. They don't want 24 other guys voting for you. Look, it's such a country club of you'll do something for me when I need you to do something if I do something for you now. They never vote against team moving. They never vote. Like, the owners never go, no, you're not moving that team. Nope, we're voting against you relocating. You work it out with your local people. You know why? Because one day they might want to move the team. And it's not the Cowboys or anything like that, but it's like Jacksonville, for example, or it's like any other team that maybe just like, maybe one day they want to move. Maybe they want to go somewhere else. Who knows? Right? It's that kind of situation. And don't discount the report that came out again with Dan, with the ESPN reporters, where they talked about Dan Snyder being so detested in Washington circles that he can't get things done for not only himself, but the NFL. This wears on the owners too. Like, if you have a team, if you are the owner of a team in Washington, you are supposed to have enough, clout to be a mover and a shaker with the politicians that come and go in that city. And as Dave Preston pointed that out last week for us, which is these politicians come, they're from all over the country, some of them brand new to the job, some of them lifelong politicians, but they put themselves into the Washington culture, right? They're among the power brokers. That's where the power lies. And one of the people that should be in the inner circle of power is the owner of the local football team. Very wealthy, can donate to campaigns, can be a very influential person, right? With the local businesses, with the like things that politicians on that level, national and you know, whether it's you know, Senate or Congress or whatnot, or lobbyists, whoever, he's supposed to be in the inner circle to make things happen for the league. Right. And all of these politicians want to curry some favor with the owner that might be able to help them out in certain situations, like, oh, luxury box seats when I need to go somewhere or whatever, or donations to my campaign. And Dan Snyder can't do it because he's such a poisonous owner that you don't even want to attach yourself to things. And he's playing in a stadium that's crumbling down, and he can't fix it. He can't get another stadium. He can't get the deals that need to be done. Right. So I'll give you a quick locally here in Tennessee. There was an announcement on Monday that the mayor of Nashville, John Cooper, has struck a deal with the Titans. Now, when the Titans moved here from Houston, and with a stop in Memphis, they moved here from Houston, they had Nissan Stadium. And they were going to stay in Nissan Stadium for a very, very long time. But as we know in this league, when NFL stadiums are being built, everybody wants a new one. When, as they get bigger and more glamorous and they bring in more revenue, everybody looks at their own dump and goes, oh, I can't do anything here. This is terrible. And then when the league says to Nashville, this is a great city. Too bad you don't have a dome stadium. We could have a Super Bowl here. It would be epic. In fact, if you had a dome stadium, you could have many Super Bowls here. And the owner goes, oh, yeah. Right? Amy Adams Strunk will go, wait a minute. Hold on. And so now they got a deal. Well, if you listen to sports radio here in town, you'd have one angle. This is going to be great. Super Bowls, possibly a Final Four. There's all sorts of events that can happen. This is great. This is going to put Nashville even bigger on the sports map. Then listen to the news talk side. Listen to the guys that talk politics every day, like I did on Monday. I had to drive an hour outside my town and back, and that's what I did. I flipped back and forth. And the contrast was crazy because the sports guys were going crazy. This is going to be awesome. It's a dome stadium. Oh, it's going to have all the bells and whistles. It's going to be fantastic. And the news people were like, and the taxpayers of Davidson County are on the hook now for this amount. And your property taxes will probably be raised. And this will probably be raised. And this will never get paid off. And the money that is supposed to go to Nissan Stadium is now, like, all of those things that politicians and people who cover politics would care about. You're Dan Snyder. That's what you're supposed to do for the league. You're supposed to get into the inner workings and work around these kind of things. Right? He can't do it. So it's not just about workplace culture. That's my overriding point. When they talk about the workplace culture, that's not going to get Dan Snyder kicked out of this league. Because everybody in their own house is going to have an employee that did X, an employee that did Y, didn't follow procedure, got away with some sexual misconduct. There's all sorts of things that go on when you run a big office like the NFL that you can't always control as an owner. Dan Snyder may have created a workplace toxic workplace environment, but every owner is fearing that they could be looked at too if there's a scandal within their own house, even if they weren't aware of it. What's going to get Dan Snyder kicked out of the NFL is, one, it's not that he's a bad owner because the Washington Commanders aren't competitive. No owner in that room could care less about how competitive Washington is. They don't care. And by the way, that's an argument that needs to be stripped. Because they, believe me, they benefit if Washington isn't competitive, right? On the football field and in the playoff races and all of that. Why would the owner of the Carolina Panthers want Washington to be good? No, what they want is, you're in a different position based on your location and you're not doing it enough. You're not doing your job enough as an owner for us. And you haven't for 20 years. You're supposed to get us the kind of deals we want. If you're a fly in that room, that's the kind of stuff that people will talk about Dan Snyder very, 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 very privately. And that's one of the reasons Goodell doesn't want anybody speaking on this at all. All right, we will talk to Levin Reed about the Patriots situation as we continue his Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with his Wake Up Call. Levin Reed's going to join us in a couple minutes. All right, so, but I will say this. If I could sneak a microphone into these owners' meetings, I would, right?
Oh, if you could be a fly on the wall.
Exactly. Just listen to what they're saying.
You know, where's the Russian spies to bug this room? Come on.
Exactly.
I am curious, though. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a it's like a war is coming.
I do too. I do too. Dan Snyder is going to be like scorched earth.
Yes,
man. He's going to go scorch earth.
But the rest of the owners have every right now.
Yeah, they do.
You know, I mean, I know they don't want. You know, it's like opening Pandora's box. You don't want to just, you know, give the farm away. But I mean, just based on football reasons alone,
but you know what?
It's terrible.
I know, but they shouldn't. I don't think they should panic. Like if Dan Snyder goes nuclear, I'm telling you, what does he have that the average American football fan is going to go, well, I'm never going to watch again.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like, you might have some scandals. Yeah. But like, they're going to be like any other scandal that hits this league. You know, it's funny. You and I were talking about this yesterday. Ime Udoka. Right. And we were saying like, boy, just a couple of months ago, we treated it like he murdered a whole family.
Yep.
Like there's something that they're hiding on him. Well, here we are like 2 months later or a month or so later. And what was it? Right. And so Stephen A. Smith goes on one of his shows and he's like, the Celtics are not firing him because they don't want him to be the coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm like, all right. He's just kind of, he says he knows, he's got his source and whatever, doesn't want to reveal it. Okay. But at the same time, you're like, they survive these scandals. Like, these scandals come and they go, but yeah, in the end, people want sports, and the emotion that comes from sports overrides most. Look at the NFL.
Well,
God, if I heard it 100 times, I heard like what? Colin Kaepernick kneeling, I'll never watch again. Okay, good, because the ratings are through the roof.
What happened just over the weekend? Jerry Jones got hit again.
Yeah,
with sticking his tongue in other people's mouths and blah 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 blah. And we're just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's
Jerry
again,
Jones.
You may have feelings about an owner. You may have feelings like, I don't like the owner anymore. But if the team is playing, people just gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
And there's not going to be a jersey burning ceremony. Like let's say there was a scandal that hit the new ownership group of the Broncos. They're more worried about Russell Wilson than they would anything that ever happened to any of the Waltons that are on that team.
If it was just based on football reasons, the owners wouldn't even care about Dan Snyder. I mean, how many times have we seen like a team that is just terrible? Everyone's calling for the owner to sell the team.
Right.
See it all the time. I mean, the Knicks have been doing it for years.
Right. James Dolan, get out. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But, it's like, if it's just based on because of that, you know what? He'll figure it out eventually, or he won't. And he'll, the team will just be terrible.
Like,
this is completely different because, I don't know how Dan Snyder can say the allegations aren't true and he won't set foot on American soil.
I do not want anybody. Again, it goes back to what I said yesterday about Ime Udoka, and I'll say the same thing here. I'm not trying to say that the workplace culture in Washington is, oh, get over it. No, I'm not saying if it's really bad and those women have a legitimate complaint, we all have wives and sisters and or girlfriends or whatever, and we don't want them sexually harassed in the work environment. It's not okay.
No.
And we want people to pay for it, and we want people fired who do that to our loved ones. And those women in that organization had loved ones that care about them, and especially them individuals, even if they had no one in their lives, it shouldn't happen to them. But that being said, I hate to say this because it's going to sound like I'm minimizing it. No owner is going to vote Dan Snyder's team out because of that. It's not going to happen. There's going to be way more to the Snyder ousting of the team than that.
Yeah.
Because an owner is going to go, okay, look, we can reprimand him. We can fine him. We can take draft picks away. We can do all sorts of things. But if you remove him, you could remove me if I'm not on top of things that are going on in my place.
And maybe what Jim Irsay is doing is just a threat of like, hey, get off your boat, come face the music, stop making us all look bad. We're kind of getting all lumped into the same look right now.
And again,
you're hiding on a boat.
It's the same thing with Ime Udoka. If Ime Udoka did something so horrific that people in the inner circle know about but we'll never know about, maybe he'll never coach again. But if it's just a bad relationship that went bad, he got angry, said things to her, even harassed her, trust me, he'll coach in this league again in a couple of years.
Yeah,
Give it
a year, maybe two.
Right. It's
I'm not
trying to minimize it, but it's not going to cost him his career.
He may not. I fully believe he will never coach for the Celtics again, though.
No, he won't coach for the Celtics again. That's not going to happen.
But,
not going to happen.
You just got to work out the contract. Let that finish it out.
It's even more with an owner. When you ask other owners to kick out other owners, they all look in the mirror and go, could this be me in 4 to 5 years if I have some things in my closet that come out.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. Our good friend Levin Reed joins us, WBZ in Boston. The 3-3, winning 2 in a row with Bailey Zappi. Patriots are on the discussion board. How are you, my friend?
Tony! How's it going?
Good! Did you guys notice Bailey Zappi in camp? Like... I got to admit, I live in Nashville. He played not far from here in Western Kentucky, and I barely knew who he was.
It took me forever to figure out that his last name was not Zapp.
Right. I thought it was Zapp,
it was
too.
Zappy.
Right, yeah.
So that was one thing. So I didn't notice him in camp, but I think we should have said notice something because they didn't relegate him to the practice squad. He made the team. So he was on the 53 roster, so they carried three quarterbacks with Brian Hoyer there. So, and I mean, when he was in camp, you know, he looks like he's smaller than everybody else, but they must have seen something. And I knew his background of throwing like 6,000 yards in college, but you know as well as I do, that doesn't mean anything when you get to the pros. But he's here now, and he's spearheading victories.
All right, so let's talk about his current situation. Is there a fervor for him? He's winning two games, but Mac Jones was a Pro Bowl rookie, led him to the playoffs. Are we looking at it nationally as a thing that may not actually exist in Boston?
I'll tell you this. It's not a controversy until it is. And that's all I have to say. But I will say this. I've seen this before, meaning you have a quarterback that's established, but then he gets hurt. And then they put in somebody else, and all of a sudden the team rallies around that other guy to make sure everything gets better. So instead of getting a sack, you know what I got to do? I got to get a strip sack because I got to help out the team more. Instead of just getting through the hole at the running back, I got to get through the hole, stiff arm the guy in the secondary, and get better yards after the catch. Instead of getting the wide receiver, I've got to get my 50-50 ball now and go up and get it. I got to high point that pass. That's what you're seeing, guys rallying it around. And all Bailey's doing, honestly, is what – I'm not calling that, but what Tom Brady did in the first couple of years he started was get the ball out of my hands. Get it to the guys who could do stuff with it. So, I mean, Mac Jones, when he was there, he was holding on to the ball a little bit too long. It caused a little bit of turnovers. Bailey's not doing that. And I will say this, for a rookie, he runs out of the pocket and throws the ball away. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. which is great. If you're a coach, you're like, hey, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and a lot of people are sort of reminded of how, you know, when Brady came along. But with Drew Bledsoe, here's the big money established number one overall pick, led him to a Super Bowl. That kind of, like, there was, as he's winning games, it's like, well, he's not going to get the job, right? Like, in the end, like, this is not going to happen, Brady. But in this case, you're only talking about a guy, despite the success last year, it's in the league 1 year. We've seen sophomore slumps. We've seen guys have good years and disappear. Is Mac Jones still a work in progress enough that there might actually be a controversy down the road?
So I'm going to tell you what. The reason why Belichick and Tom Brady and Bledsoe were different in this instance was Bledsoe was not Belichick's guy. Remember, Belichick got
right.
that job, and Brady was and Bledsoe was already there, and he drafted Brady. So now you're in a spot where he drafted Mac Jones last year, and all of a sudden, both of these guys would say are his guys, just like the same thing he had with Brady and Garoppolo. Both of those guys were his guys. So you're in that more of a situation where you're like, well, who do I feel better with? And I will say this. I expected that Mac Jones is going to play on Monday against the Chicago Bears. And I know what you're saying. Well, the Bears are a terrible team. That's important here because the last two teams that Bailey Zappi has played against, we would consider terrible teams.
Yeah.
And he's played kind of a flawless game. Now, if Mac Jones steps in and plays a flawless game, then he's your guy. But if he goes in and ball security is an issue like it was when he was in before, you have a controversy. You have a problem. Because you shouldn't struggle against a team like I honestly, when I was scouting the Bears, I had to look who they were. I was like, who was on this squad? Like, I had no idea who played for this team. I'm like, Allen Robinson is the player? I'm like, who's on this team? So it was, I I knew Justin Fields, I knew Montgomery, and I knew Roquan Swift, and I was like, everybody else? I don't know. That's what it was.
What is it about Zappe? I mean, what in between the numbers here? This is a 73% completion rating, 4 touchdowns and interception. When you look at those numbers, how do you read those numbers based on the way he is throwing it and where he's throwing it?
Gets the ball out of his hands pretty quickly. He does read the field, which is it's so scary to watch because he's a rookie. They have a simpler game plan for him. But in the simpler game plan, he excels. And last week was something different where he was making changes at the line of scrimmage, which happens in his second game. Second start, I should say. He doesn't make mistakes. Steps up in the pocket. He's able to navigate the pocket, which is something that Mac Jones doesn't do well. And if, you know, if you're an offensive lineman, you're like, thank God, buddy, help me out. Step up in the pocket. So he does that. And he's not emotional. That is huge because Mac Jones is so intense. There's a point where I think when we talked last year, guys were like, he needs to calm down. He needs to calm down. Where Bailey Zappe is like zero emotions. I feel like if we were to look at, like, you know, Hannibal Lecter, he would probably have the same pulse as Bailey Zappe. Like, they're just like, I don't know if they're winning or losing. He jumps when he gets the touchdown. And then he's got better weapons right now. You get Tyquan Thornton back. I'm not sure we're going to see Nelson Aguilar again. You get Ramondre Stevenson's having a great year. He's playing real strong. You figure out that Cole Strange and that left side of the line is doing well. And I will say this also, Bill Belichick is sending a whole bunch of, like, you know, birds to the NFL and his critics, because that last week was 10 rookies were playing.
Yeah.
And 10 rookies were getting the job done. And we've talked about, you know, for years that he's not drafting well. Well, if you go from Kyle Duggar to now, Kyle Duggar's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and right now we've got guys playing 10 rookies. And there was a point in the game when it's Jonathan Jones and Marcus Jones out there at the corners, and they were just on island. No, what are you going to do?
Have you noticed anything in the last few years with the way Belichick handles questions or handles conversation or talks about players that's different than when he was on top of the mountain for so long?
He's not seeing much more. I feel like he's a little bit happier now because he's building a team where before the team was established. He likes to win, obviously.
Right.
But I don't think that, I don't think I noticed much more then. He just seems more happy. He's giddy. He sees a potential in the team. It's been torn down. So he can't, you know, like when you're on top of the mountain, you can pretty much say anything you want to say. He's got to be a little bit more relaxed because everybody now is shooting after him. Everybody now, when he's not winning, they're like, hey, you can't be that mean dude that you were before when the titles are not coming. You have to be a little bit more relaxed. He's trying to be. I don't know if it's working. I will tell you a development today, though. The media availability came out. And usually the quarterbacks talk on Wednesday. So we were all thinking, okay, we're going to see Mac Jones talk. Bailey Zappe scheduled to talk at 4 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Bailey Zappe scheduled to talk at 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Which shocked all of us.
Sure.
Shocked all of us. Yeah.
Because that always, that is kind of off the norm.
That's an indication of who's going to, that would be an indication to me of who's going to play on Monday. That would be an indication.
Yeah, because I was going to lean. Is there anything that you're garnering from this week? They are so secretive. I mean, I never know from the outside. I'm like, who are they playing? Who's starting? Like, I have to kind of dig deep to find any sort of answer as to how, like, who's going to play. Is there any indication? Do you get a feeling early in late, you know, midweek, like where Mac Jones's injury actually is?
I knew on Sunday that his injury must be getting better because they had him fly back and forth from Cleveland, which means they could be testing him out there, worked him out there, and they could be testing for the inflammation of when he flies and when he comes back. And you know how that is with a swollen ankle, high ankle sprain. So they could be testing that. We're not at practice to see who takes snaps. You know, he went from limited to questionable. I think, and you can buy this time right now. And listen, I fully believe Mac Jones is going to be the starter. But that doesn't mean Bill feels that way. So I feel that way. Because I think you tied yourself to this pick last year. But if you feel that Bailey Zappe can do more for your team than Mac Jones can do for your team, and even if Mac Jones is better, it doesn't make a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can drive a Volkswagen and you can drive a Porsche, and the Porsche doesn't have the right amount of parts, well, then the Porsche is not going to drive as well as the Volkswagen.
Yeah,
well. It's not going to drive as well. But I think the amount of snaps that Mac Jones has to take is important for this. I mean, every week they trotted him out there. He hasn't missed a practice, to be honest with you. He's been out there on a bad ankle the whole time. But again, for some reason, I didn't understand why we were pushing the envelope on a high ankle sprain. Listen, Tony, you and I have been through the ringer enough to know that a high ankle sprain before, you would probably have to cut your leg off.
No kidding.
You know, you were not coming back out. Right. You know, a high ankle sprain was a year. But right now, they were like, well, he's coming back in 2 weeks. I'm like, really? It's a high ankle sprain. That's usually anywhere between 4 to 6. Am I correct?
Right. So, no doubt.
Yeah. No doubt. A high ankle sprain is 4 to 6 weeks. So I would think next week would be, but there, I mean, if he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And if he's ready to go, Bill's going to give him one more week. Let's just say that.
What's the running back situation with Damian Harris? Is he getting better? Is he coming back?
He's another one that traveled on that hamstring. It's funny how they're doing the running back situation, because remember how they used to do like by committee?
Yeah.
They're not doing it as much as now. So they have whatever running back is in for those set of downs is in for those set of downs. So, like, you would have, like, you know, they would swap out and they bring in James White to do a third down back. Well, all these guys can catch now. So, Ramondre Stevenson, this was the first time in a long time that they had a feature back. I mean, they just ran him the whole time for that game. I think they're running Kevin Harris to break here and there. I think Damian Harris is close. They would like him to be closer with his hamstring. And I'll say this, too. They know Damian Harris is probably going to leave next year. He's probably going to want more money. That's just how it is. But Ramondre Stevenson is a super back. They like how he runs. He runs real strong. He runs square. He hits the hole, and he's strong. And he runs behind his blockers. Damian Harris is the same thing. I think they like to have a change of back because they get a chance to break it up so guys can, you know, get a little bit of breather in the run. But at the same time, if they can bring in Damian Harris to run and get the job done, both of those two backs are very special.
Levin Reed, always love talking to you, my friend. Thank you, as always, giving us the insight of what's going on in New England. Always fascinating with Belichick and in the way his mind works.
They always break the internet. No matter what is going on, the Patriots, every year something happens, you're like, really? Oh, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Every morning it's something.
It really is, so, my man. It really is, and that's why we love having you, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Anytime. I'll catch you.
You got it, man. Levin Reed, WBZ in Boston on the Patriots. So there you go. Yeah. It's really fascinating when you think about it, right? Like, because people really want to jump to the Brady Bledsoe comparison here, and there is some similarities. It's hard though because you know what the end result was, right? So there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking that you take into the 2001 season that you didn't have at the time, right? You did not have at the time. And when you talk about Bledsoe, he's right. That was Bill Parcells' number one pick. And then you start processing like how long Bledsoe had been there. He's the franchise guy. He's one of Robert Kraft's favorites, right? Like, he gets the big money. He is the starting quarterback. Bledsoe in 2001 was as big of a quarterback, of a franchise quarterback, as there was in the league. He had been to a Super Bowl. He got the Patriots into a few playoffs. He was, again, getting the big contract. So when Brady was winning games, you were like, nah, they're not really going to do this, right? They're not really going to make a change. But then the evidence was, no, wait, the team's on a roll, and it's on too much of a roll. And why disrupt it now? This is working. They're winning these games, and he's playing well, and he's getting a rhythm. Like, we don't know anything about this kid from Michigan and whether or not he's going to have a career or not in this league long term. But today, he's the answer. We don't know where this is going to go, but today, and that's one of the reasons why when people talk about the Tuck game, it's the biggest butterfly effect game, because if Brady loses that game and the Raiders win, maybe the Patriots don't go to him at all, and maybe they go back to Bledsoe. Maybe not, because Belichick liked him and Bledsoe wasn't his guy. But Kraft would have had a say in this as well. So Brady's kind of right that it's possible that his career, he would have not been the starter in 2002. In this situation, though, Jones is still more vulnerable to be replaced. And because, you know, last year was great and everything, but when you're looking at the quarterback in a complete picture, there's still work there. And Bailey Zappe may play well enough that we go with a hot hand, and it's not going to feel as if it shouldn't happen because one guy has the job and, you know, he had a permanent place on the roster. they're similar, but you know, there's still some differences there. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, now I'm going to be off Friday and Monday as I go to Austin for that race. So Sports Grid will be taking over, and we'll be back on Tuesday. So tomorrow's show, we've got Throwback Thursday, and then we're going to do our NFL viewer's guide to the NFL weekend.
Yep.
On that date, since I'll be out on Friday.
And we'll tell you whether or not to watch tomorrow night.
Exactly. You know what? The Steelers are on Sunday night. So I'm not going to, you know, so I'm going to get to go to the Grand Prix, and then Sunday night I'll watch the Steelers
Settle
Dolphins.
Settle in into an Austin bar somewhere?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Find or a Steelers
probably,
bar in
probably
Austin?
Probably just the hotel room. I'll be too tired from the sun.
Have you seen, so you saw that Amazon's going to have a Black Friday game?
Are they really?
Yeah, they're going to do it. Not this year, next year.
Not this year? Okay.
So, I mean, immediately the jokes came out. I was like, oh, what discount game are they going to give us on Black
Friday?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Exactly.
Poor Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, and this isn't what you signed up for. The NFL should apologize.
Arizona, New Orleans? Really? You think Herb Street's like, I'm flying around the country for this? Like, my life
Al's not
is,
going to much longer. He's going to do the
Al
John
is
Madden
like,
thing.
Al's like, listen, I called the 80 Olympics, all right? I've been doing this since the 70s, all right? I don't need to be doing Washington and the Bears followed by New Orleans and Arizona. Good Lord. What am I on the Z team? Goodness gracious. I'm not going to make a Spiro Dedis joke, I promise. I was ready to do it, but I'm not going to do it.